In this interview, we're talking with AJ Wilcox, and we're going to be diving deep into LinkedIn ads. Now, most of us understand Facebook ads or Google ads, and we all think LinkedIn ads, no way, those are way too expensive. Well, we're going to demystify a few things, but there was one thing in this interview that opened up my eyes. It made me realize that I was missing a huge opportunity, and it's the customer value. So in this interview, you're going to hear that if your customer is worth a certain dollar figure, and he's going to tell you exactly what that dollar figure is. If it's worth this dollar figure, you need to be on LinkedIn, because there's no other place that's going to have better targeting, better marketing, and getting the person in the right part of the funnel like LinkedIn. You're going to get all of those things. He's also going to share with you how you can get in front of the best decision makers for your business. So if you happen to be a business that is doing at least six figures, probably not cross that seven-figure mark, and you've got a salesperson or salespeople, what you're needing to do is get in front of the right decision makers. He's going to explain how you do that, and he gives away a checklist so that you can get started with LinkedIn right away. Don't worry, you're not going to have to get into some spammy sales cycle or anything like that. I mean, AJ's a good dude, and he's explaining tons of information that will help you in your business. Now, a little bit about AJ's background. He is a LinkedIn ads expert. He's been running ads for companies for years and years. Now, on top of LinkedIn ads, AJ has a lot of experience understanding and knowing the social platforms. And he's been an advertising evangelist for a number of years. In fact, one of the leaders here inside of his local marketplace and throughout the community. AJ has a knack for being able to take some very complex ideas and boil them down into things that you can easily understand. And oftentimes he's doing it with acronyms that will help you remember it so that you can quickly apply that to your business. Now, let's jump into this interview so you can get to understand AJ a little bit more and also see how LinkedIn ads can work for your business. Welcome to the Business Growth Podcast. We are pleased to have you here and for you to be able to teach about LinkedIn to our audience. So the first thing that we want to do is we want to establish this foundation of why LinkedIn is the place that people should actually be paying attention to right now.
Well, LinkedIn is actually really, really interesting. I think most of us probably remember LinkedIn from when it was essentially just a resume site back in, you know, 2012 or earlier. But since 2013, they got a news feed, and then now it's very much professional content and education are being shared, and more people are spending more and more time on LinkedIn. It's not the place you go anymore every 6 months to update your resume or when you're just looking for a job. It's someplace you come to make connections and have valuable conversation, and it's super worth paying attention to now more than ever.
Okay. So, you know, in the far as the business world goes, it seems like a lot of, I hate to say it, but amateurs are putting focus on Facebook, while a lot of the people that have, you know, college degrees or they're successful owning a large company, or maybe they work for some enterprise, they're on LinkedIn. So why is it that those two are so far apart as far as focus and results?
Well, I think the, as you'd call them, the amateurs, the younger folks who are trying to figure stuff out, I think they really gravitated towards Facebook because Facebook had this very grassroots kind of upbringing where, someone would go and have success doing something on Facebook, and they would tell their friends who would speak at a conference and teach about it. And so all these people were just going, wow, Facebook is the place to be. Whereas LinkedIn never really had that. It wasn't until Facebook started tightening the screws. And for those of you who don't know, probably about 3 years ago, Facebook started saying, hey, you know what? Our news feed's a little bit busy. So we're going to start cutting the businesses out of there unless you're willing to start paying for ads. And then just here another 6 months ago, they made another release and basically said, sorry, if you're a company page, like, you're just not going to get much. Whereas LinkedIn this whole time has been saying, hey, we want to share what you have. And in fact, they take it a step further. When you share something on LinkedIn and someone hits like, comment, or share on that post, it then goes out to their network to some degree. And so whereas on Facebook, people are getting beat up when they share something, they're getting fewer and fewer views. On LinkedIn, you're now getting more and more. And we're seeing a lot of the marketing community, the speakers, the trainers, the coaches, all those kind of people going, wow, when I share something on LinkedIn, I get 15,000 views. And when I share it on Facebook, I get 30. I'm going to go and spend more time on LinkedIn.
Okay, that totally makes sense. So help our audience understand a couple things, because you know LinkedIn better than just about anyone else. So, most of us understand LinkedIn from 5 years ago, but we're not really clear about LinkedIn in 2018. So bring us up to speed. What's changed in that social platform?
The audience has changed quite a bit. Like I said, more and more people are finding more and more value there. Many of your listeners may know Gary Vaynerchuk. Here about a year ago, he said, wow, this is interesting. When I share on LinkedIn, it gets twice as many views as my Instagram does. I guess I'm going to be spending more time here from now on. So we see the bigger guns moving over, people spending more and more time. So I think that changes the landscape quite a bit. As for the profile, little things change here and there. Like the picture is now round instead of square. You now get your summary will appear like by default in your profile. I mean, they give us a few more things. Groups on LinkedIn are not very good right now, so they're in the process of fixing them and coming out with a new version. But otherwise, the platform hasn't changed a whole lot. It's more the level of activity and the number of people who are spending time there.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, since LinkedIn is, started by Reid Hoffman, and it's a lot of the Silicon Valley types, we'll call it, how should people be approaching this platform from an organic side? Because obviously, we're going to be starting to talk soon about the paid side, but we want to understand the organic base side. So how should they be approaching that platform and communicating and frequency and all of that kind of stuff?
So there are a couple schools of thought here, and I'll share both of them, and probably most of your listeners will fall in between. You have people like me who are very conservative, and they say, I'm only going to connect with you on LinkedIn if we know each other. Like, there's an actual relationship there. If we've met or exchanged emails, or there's a good reason for us to be doing business together, that's when I want to accept your connection request. And then you have the people who go, a social network is nothing without connections, so max it out. Invite 30,000 people to connect to be your friends, and then everything you say goes out through a megaphone, and you've got contact information for 30,000 people. I think you're probably going to want to land somewhere in between if you're listening to this. You don't need to be super conservative, and you don't need to accept everything. But just realize that the concern there, if you'll just connect to anyone, is, I think, twofold. Number one, if you're connected to someone and one of your friends says, hey, I see you're connected to so-and-so, can you make an introduction, or what can you tell me about them? Would they be good to hire? Would you want to partner with this person? If you don't know them, you're not going to have a good answer. But second of all, and I think even more powerfully, as soon as you connect to someone on LinkedIn, you now have access to their personal email address. And so if you just connect to anyone willy-nilly, there's a good chance that some spammers can get a hold of your email address, and you'll start to receive more spam, or you'll be put on a lot of people's newsletters. I don't know why people think that's okay to add you to a newsletter when you're just connected on LinkedIn, but you'll see some of that kind of thing.
Up next, AJ talks about buying ads on LinkedIn and why you're getting a customer that's deeper in the funnel, and why they're deeper in the funnel is actually going to affect how much they're worth to you. Yes, you have to pay more for the ads, but you're going to learn something that might shift how you see that ad platform versus Facebook and Google.
The big thing that you need to understand about LinkedIn ads is the reason people use it is the targeting is incredibly powerful. You can target people by their job title. You can target people by what department they're in, their level of seniority, their years of experience, skills they have on their profile, individual groups that they're members of. We can't do that on Facebook. Industry, company size, the list just goes on and on and on. And so for especially those who are generating really high value leads, where your sales team is saying, no, we only want to talk to this kind of person. Everything past that is just garbage. We can't do anything with it. That's what LinkedIn is so good for. The big challenge, the reason why everyone isn't using it, is it started out expensive, and it is expensive. To give you an idea, it's between about $6 and $9 per click is what LinkedIn averages for from their ads. Whereas on Facebook, you might be paying $1 to $2 per click for a business-to-business kind of offer. So a lot of people look at that and go, wow, I would much rather pay half or a third on Facebook and do more with that. But as you do that, you're going to find out that Facebook has a lower conversion rate because you're getting people not when they're in the right mindset. And your targeting is so difficult to get right because they don't have the same targeting filters. The ones they had, they've taken away. So now, you know, it's really like a shotgun approach. You're going to cover an audience and hope that your group is somewhere in there. Whereas LinkedIn, you know, every single click is coming from someone you would love to do business with.
Up next, you're going to see how you might be able to reach 100% or nearly 100% of your addressable market. And you're going to find out where most people are getting tripped up so that they're not actually getting an ROI on their ads. So if you have friends and they're saying LinkedIn ads don't work, or if you've tried it, this is the part of the interview that you want to listen to so that you don't have those problems in the future.
Yeah, if you're coming from search advertising or search marketing, you're going to come over to social saying, okay, there aren't enough people who are typing in and actively searching for what we're doing. So now we need to open up a new market. We need to get volume over and above what people are actively searching for. So that's the big pain point from search. From other social channels like Facebook, they're coming over saying our lead quality isn't nearly as good as other channels. So we know that LinkedIn has better targeting. We want to do that. And also the targeting means that you're going to have fewer people on Facebook that that are a good fit for what you do versus LinkedIn. You've got, I mean, you can reach someone by their level of seniority in a geography at a certain company size. And so you can just reach 100% of your addressable market on LinkedIn or, you know, call it 98% or whatever, but they're there.
Okay. Now, when these business owners are coming over, what are the most common things that trip them up right at the beginning?
So I like to break this down into the acronym AMO, A-M-O, and it stands for audience, message, and offer. So the audience, we've just talked about that. It's pretty straightforward. I think most people know who they want as customers. The message is pretty simple. It's just, you know, talk about what you're going to offer someone into an ad package that makes someone want to click. But that third piece, the offer, is by far the piece that makes or breaks your campaign. And most business owners, when they come to us, they'll say, hey, we want to put an ad together and start generating leads on LinkedIn. And they're expecting that we're going to put an ad out there that says, this is what we do, contact us to talk to a sales rep. But if you put an ad out like that to on LinkedIn or really any social platform, people are really scared. Like, they'll look at that and go, I don't want to talk to a salesperson. I'm not ready to make a purchase decision. This just feels like too much too soon. So, you know, very few people click on the ads. That means that it stops spending money. LinkedIn sees that it's not worth continuing to show. And that kind of offer, it may work for a week or two, maybe a month. But after that, you'll have totally exhausted all of the latent demand in your marketplace. And now there's just no value in showing your ad. So what you want to do is you want to come up with an offer that either solves a major pain point or satisfies a major curiosity for your target audience. And a lot of times that comes most successfully in formats like join this free webinar or download this free checklist or this free guide, this free ebook, come to this free in-person event, something where you're providing a lot of value for free in exchange just for their contact information. So you can now start a conversation and an actual relationship.
Coming up, AJ is going to be talking about the signals you need to pay attention to when launching your campaigns. Now, these signals are the indicators of a good campaign or a bad campaign. He also shares a pro tip about your customer lifetime value. It's the thing that I mentioned at the beginning of the interview. This is the pro tip, the thing that you really want to focus on, and it's the exact dollar amount where you're going to decide if you should be running LinkedIn ads or not.
I think at some point you just need to launch, because we can predict that, oh, we think this landing page is going to work well. We think this offer is going to work well. We think this is the target audience who needs what we do the most. But until you launch, you just don't know what the public thinks. And so even if you launch and say, okay, we're just going to spend $500 hit pause and we just want to see where we're at. You can do that and start getting some early signals, like in that first $500, what was your engagement rate on your ads? We know on LinkedIn sponsored content, the average click-through rate is a 0.35%. And most of our clients, when we launch, have a 0.6, 0.9, a 1% click-through rate. And so you start looking at this going, wow, the audiences we're targeting that have a 0.35 are just average. And in my view, average is not good. And this other segment, we're hitting a 0.8%. That's someone telling us that what we're offering to them is so important to them that they're willing to sideline whatever they were doing and now start paying attention to us. So I say launch, and then maybe in that first $500, you can tell, wow, we got, you know, we got 2 leads out of it, or we got 16 leads out of it. What's the, you know, what's that conversion rate? Is this high or is this low compared to things that we've already done and our expectations? It might be worth either investing further into or saying this isn't for us and we should get out.
Okay. Now, because of the depth of the value of the customer, meaning in LinkedIn, you can do such highly targeting that you can be finding someone that's more ready versus on the awareness scale on like Facebook. So we're obviously, sounds like we're going to be paying more to acquire that customer. Is it seen that their buying cycle is a lot shorter on LinkedIn because of that?
The buying cycle tends to be slightly shorter on LinkedIn, but we're still talking about usually larger deal sizes that do take time. I mean, this is business to business. So we see sales cycles that take anywhere from, you know, 2 months on the short side to a year and a half to 2 years in for our enterprise clients. So it does tend to be a little bit shorter than Facebook. If you need just speed, you've got to go search at channels like Google Ads and SEO. Those are going to close like tomorrow. But for LinkedIn, we really build the case around the value of reaching the right customer for a really high quality or a very high value lead. The line in the sand that I've drawn is, if you're going to make $15,000 or more from the lifetime of a client, whether it's a single deal or maybe it's SaaS software and they're going to stick around for 3 years, whatever that is, that $15,000 mark is where I've seen, yeah, you're going to be successful. You will see a return on your investment, all things being equal.
Okay, that makes sense. That's cool that you actually laid out what that should be, the customer value. Now, on the lifetime value, is it, let's talk a little bit more about that. One, is that one of the, you know, preview questions you ask people? Say, hey, what's your customer LTV?
Yeah, I do. I tell them, you know, on the very first call, these really have to be high value leads, because otherwise that, if you're paying $6 to $9 for a click up front, it's going to be hard to see the return that you're looking for.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. You know, for me, LinkedIn is one that I've done personally in the profile. I have friends that have figured out how to make it viral for them. So they've done really well, my friend Travis and a few others. But the ad side has seriously been one of those mysteries that everyone's putting out courses and talking about Facebook ads and Google ads. Why is it that they're just not jumping into LinkedIn?
I think the reason for it is pretty simple. I think it was pricing. When Google came out, they said, hey, every click is 5 cents a piece and until there's enough competition in the auction. So basically at 5 cents a piece, you could sell packs of gum or you could sell huge enterprise packages of software. Didn't matter. Everyone can be successful on that, on those clicks. And so everyone tested it out. Everyone who tested it out had a great success. And then they all went off thinking, I'm a genius. I should go and teach other people. I should start an agency that does this. And so lots of people were out there doing that. Facebook, the same way. It started out incredibly inexpensive. So everyone was an expert and everyone had a huge amount of success. LinkedIn, when they very first started out, they said $2 per click. That's the floor. You'll never pay less than that. And because of that, there were a whole bunch of people who went either, I'm going to go test it out. Ooh, I failed. That's an expensive platform. I'm going to get out. Or even just mediocre results. They went, okay, I'd rather go and spend time where I'm having stellar results on these other platforms. So everyone's talking about the platforms that they had wins on. I can probably count on one hand the number of people I know who went and tested out LinkedIn ads and had a home run on their very first pitch, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. So from running an agency, you're obviously getting a better perspective than most people will. What are some of the things that you could share with our listeners so that it will help them either create an aha for that they decide to jump into LinkedIn ads, or it'll help them at least throw it in the horizon in the future?
I think it has to be that audience. If you know, here's the feedback you're probably getting from your sales team right now. From Google leads, you're getting things like, we're talking to the janitor and we're talking to the CEO and everyone in between. Can we talk to more of just like the VPs? Like that's who we really sell to. Can we do that? And you can't. And it's also, we have a limited scale. We know we want to reach these VPs of finance across the US in companies with at least 50 people in them, but we can't do that on any other channel. That's where LinkedIn really makes a ton of sense. It's granular control over that audience at scale. And of course, you're going to pay a little bit of a premium for that. But if on the back end, you're set up to make sure that you're going to make $15,000 or more when you sell someone, I think it's going to be pretty much a no-brainer. But it does mean that you've got to bring that offer. You got to figure out the right funnel on the back end and provide something that's really interesting and of a lot of value to that prospect.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, on the LinkedIn ad side, the copy, the design, and all of that, tell us a little bit about the marketplace. So they want something that's more of a savvy audience, savvy design, something that's really clean and crisp, or do you get away with what garbage floats on Facebook?
You know, what's really interesting is I've seen examples on both sides that are kind of the exception to my rule, but I'll lay out the rule and I'll tell you a little bit about the exceptions. In general, you want your image to contrast with LinkedIn's color palette, which happens to be the same as Facebook's. So don't use blues, grays, and whites, and those are just the colors that will just blend in and it'll look like everything else. And you don't want to use stock photos because, again, that blends into the rest of what you see on LinkedIn. It feels very stock photo-y. Mm-hmm. So you want to use reds, greens, yellows, pinks, purples. Those all will help it pop and stand out. And then the image is actually the same size of image, the same dimensions and everything as Facebook. So I found that if you just take whatever is working on Facebook, go ahead and use the same images and offer on LinkedIn, and it's probably going to work pretty well. We also have found that long copy tends to convert better, but there's a challenge. I tell everyone that you do want to bid by, you know, telling LinkedIn you want to pay by the click, mm-hmm. Calling it bidding CPC. You want to do that from the very beginning. But if you use long copy, what happens is your first couple lines will show, and then there'll be a little dot, dot, dot truncation, and it'll say see more. And when someone clicks that see more because they want to read the rest of your ad, you just got charged for the click, and they're not even on your landing page yet. So you'll see your cost per conversion climb. So I recommend start out with very short copy. Even though it won't convert as well, you'll only pay for the people who are on your landing page and have a chance to convert.
Okay. So for me, I'm going to just, you know, take my cards and I'm just going to lay them on the table and say where I am. For our software company years ago, my partner ran ads with it. And we came into the same fold as you of saying, oh, dude, LinkedIn's really expensive. We're crushing it on Facebook. I think we'll shelf this for a while. So now that, you know, we kind of understand that platform and we see, okay, it's for my current business, it'd be something great to do moving forward. And I understand a little bit more about the ad creative and the ad copy. Now my mind is saying, okay, well, where do I start? Is that starting with an internal like retargeting list or starting with my network? Or what would you say?
Yeah, it's always better to start with a warm list because you know that's going to be the best combination of things. So we start with what I call my core of everything. So you start with your very best offer, your best asset, with your best audience. The audience that's the best is going to be warm, and you're going to show them your best historically performing ads if you have them. So when you start with those three things all in agreement, you look at it and you go, okay, if our cost per conversion is $12, this is amazing. If our cost per conversion is $150, ooh, this is expensive. We probably should back out. So I think it all comes down to a test. Start with warm audiences if you can. That means take a list of email addresses if you have them, or a list of accounts, company names that would know you, or retargeting lists from your website. I think all three of those would be great warm sources.
Okay. Now, how about LinkedIn ads? Is there video ads that you can run? Again, I'm coming from not knowing enough about this.
Yeah, so video ads are brand new, so you are totally forgiven for not knowing about them. I think they just came out as of the time of recording, 2 months ago. keep in mind, I've heard a lot of people having a ton of success using Facebook video and YouTube video ads, and they're incredibly inexpensive. True to form with LinkedIn, it's, you know, 5 to 10 times more to run a video ad on LinkedIn. So if you have good video, it's sure worth testing, but just be aware that like prices are high. And so you just want to make sure you've got a really good funnel on the back end to catch that awesome traffic.
Okay. So now that we understand our core pieces, and you know, my mind is starting to run through and say, okay, well, dude, you should be running ads. I get that. For you as the owner of an agency, help us understand who are the core people that you're working with so that people can decide, okay, this is where I should be taking my business, or maybe this is an avenue or a channel I can go.
Yeah, so we run a very wide gamut. When I started this company, my goal was to help anyone out who wanted to perform well on LinkedIn ads. And that means all the way from the solo practitioner all the way to marketing teams at enterprise in Fortune 500. So we've got several offerings around that. What we've found through all of our testing, having spent $110 million on ads and managed hundreds of accounts in pretty much every industry I can think of, what we've found is that there are three verticals that tend to work really well with LinkedIn. Number one is pretty much what we've been talking about already, a high value business to business lead gen offer. Pretty much anyone in business to business who's making $15,000 or more, it's a great place to be. Number two, white collar recruiting of any kind, basically showing people ads and saying, hey, you're a marketing manager in our area. We're hiring for marketing manager. Are you interested in talking and applying? That kind of offer goes really well. And the third is going to be higher education, something like an MBA or a PhD program, just because the targeting around education is, of course, amazing, because everyone puts in, you know, what college they went to and what they studied and what their degree was. So because we can target around those things, the universities love it.
Okay, that's pretty phenomenal. Now, so that our audience, they understand what you're, you know, who you're working best for. And it sounds like you really have the heart that you want to help everyone, but you understand what you're really best at. We know one thing for our audience, and we'll put this in the show notes, but what you can do, audience listeners, is go to b2linked.com/checklist. And there's a ton of information on there that will help you to get started. Maybe you can take a moment and just explain what's in there, and then I've got a couple more questions for you.
Great. Yeah. So, you know, we get asked all the time from people, hey, we want to work with you, but we can't afford you yet. But we still want to advertise on LinkedIn. So what we put together is a visual version of the same checklist that we use when we onboard new customers. And so what you'll get if you go to b2linked.com/checklist is the 8-point checklist that includes everything you need to run ads. This is, you know, the right accounts you need access to, and putting together your ammo, your audience, your message, and your offer, what you need to do to set up, you know, the ads themselves in the back end. So yeah, definitely take full advantage of that. It's totally free. If you check the box that says, yeah, I want you to contact me, I'll shoot you a personal email. But if you don't check that, you'll get it for free and you'll never hear from me ever again. So, you know, take whatever value out of it that you can, because I want to see you successful, even if we're not involved.
Okay, that's pretty awesome. That's actually really awesome for you to do. What are the things that we should have talked about that we didn't get to in this interview?
Oh, I think we should talk about budget levels. I get this question quite a bit. What I tell people is, when you get started, you probably want to, if you can, budget somewhere between about $3,000 and $5,000 for month one. And the reason for that is, if you spend less, we have a client who go, ah, you know what? I'm not seeing a significant impact on the business, so LinkedIn ads must not be working. And then they'll want to quit because they didn't spend fast enough to see the impact. But if you're spending in that 3 to 5K mark, what you're doing is you're spending enough that you're seeing the impact. And also by the end of month one, you should have enough data to tell you to a statistically significant level, what your conversion rate and your cost per conversion is going to look like for the platform. And so I tell people, set up a 1-month pilot, dedicate $3,000 to $5,000, and just see what happens. And if at the end of month one, it sucks, you can get out. And if it's working great, you can always, you know, tune up or just keep going.
Okay, that's really cool, actually. So for our audience, I think they've now been armed with a lot of information. If they can, one, use the checklist at b2linked.com/checklist. But understanding who their audience is, their message, their offer, allocating some capital for that, realizing you've got to have some dynamic ads, just really good looking ads, good creative, good copy, awesome tip on the short copy. Let's throw one more tip in for our listeners before we split.
Okay, I love micro segmentation. I think I've had clients in the past who will come and they'll say, we know our client is marketing decision makers. And so a normal agency or a normal person would go through and say, okay, let's create one single campaign that is marketing job function with seniorities of manager and above. And it's one campaign, really easy to manage, and you can see how that's performing. The problem with that is that if you run that campaign and it performs well, or if it performs poorly, it doesn't give you any action items. You can't tell how you can improve that. So what we do is we will actually break that up into four different campaigns. So one will be marketing managers, one will be marketing directors, one marketing VPs, and one CMOs. And what happens then is that we start to see, wow, conversion rate is higher on CMOs, but they're harder to get a hold of. So cost per lead is lower, but their cost per qualified lead is higher, or cost per close is higher. Is that worth it to go after them if they sign bigger checks? Or marketing managers tend to click on this content like crazy, but VPs just don't care. It's below their level. And so you can start to do this and fine tune if you have them separate. And if you didn't have them separate from the beginning, you would have just never seen these insights.
Ooh, that's killer. That's really good. That's a great way to improve your the lifetime value, the customer acquisition cost, everything.
And you just can't do that on other platforms because the targeting is so much more nebulous. Like on Facebook, I'd love it if you could break down exactly the same level of targeting, but you just can't. And so you've got to have these kind of big buckets, whereas LinkedIn, I can be very specific, break them all out, and learn from all of them.
That is phenomenal. Okay, you have dropped some amazing strategies and techniques for us. What I want our listeners to do is go to b2link.com/checklist. And as AJ mentioned before, if you don't check the box, he's not going to contact you. He's just hooking you up. He's taking care of you. If you're smart and you want to take action, sure, I'd probably check the box so that he can answer those questions for you, right?
Yep, agreed.
Yeah, totally. So we're really grateful to have you on the podcast. Are there other ways that our audience can get in touch with you and say thank you and support you?
Twitter, I'm Wilcox AJ, and happy to respond to anyone. I'll also throw it out there that if you don't need the checklist, you just want to reach out and ask any question. If you go to b2links.com and just fill out the form on the page, you won't get put in touch with a salesman. You won't get put into a complex marketing automation nurture workflow. You will be put right directly into my own inbox, and I don't sell. So I'll answer any question, and you don't have to worry about a sales pitch unless you ask for it.
That's awesome. Thanks so much for spending time with us today, AJ.
Hey, thank you so much, Spencer. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Hope you got a lot of value out of it.
Thank you so much for listening to this interview with me and AJ. Again, make sure you go and check out his site at b2linked.com and grab the checklist at b2linked.com/checklist. Now, also, here's a couple things that I want you to do. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. And if you like what you hear, please share your reviews. Let others know what you think of this show. I'm doing this show not as an affiliate, not as a salesperson. This is simply me giving back to our community and building our community. So I want to thank you for all of the reviews that you've left, the comments, the emails that you bring in. And we are so thrilled to have wonderful guests like AJ. If there are other guests that you'd like to have on the show, please let us know and stay tuned for the next episode.